Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark. We're in the 12th chapter, and we've worked our way down now to verses 13. And this morning, we'll go from verse 13, and we'll go to verse 17. And we have a group of the Pharisees, and we have a group of the Herodians, and they want to catch Jesus in a trap. And this event is in the Gospel of Matthew, it's in the Gospel of Luke, and it's in the Gospel of Mark. However, you will not find it in the Gospel of John. So when we look at this morning, I think all of us in here would agree, regardless of your political affiliation, that we are in a politically charged climate in our nation. There are a lot of people that really get upset when politics are preached from the pulpit. I've heard people say that it don't belong in the pulpit. Well, today you're going to get plenty of it. You have to, because of what the text says. And there's people that have various different views on various different things. You know, there's people that are very right-wing extremist. There's people that are very left-wing extremist. There are people that I know that have gone to jail, that I do respect, that have not paid their taxes because of religious beliefs. And in that, we ask ourselves this morning, how do I respond to a government that we live in that we know our tax dollars go to Planned Parenthood? We know that our tax dollars go to LGBT plus causes. We know that our tax dollars go to vaccines that may not be supported or supported. We know that our tax dollars, this one really astounded me. The others astound me, but this almost borderline shocks me, that we have a president that instead of treating people with addiction problems, with drug problems, he passes a law to give them paraphernalia to continue the habit. That's a problem. And our tax dollars, when you get your check and you see all of the money that's taken out for your taxes, it just, I don't know about you, but it hurts me, to say the least. So when we look at this today, I think, you know, a lot of people in church, a lot of people that I talk to, one of my best friends texts me every day, and I guess he goes down there and sits at Brookshire's in Lindale and sees when they change the price of gas. But he'll put on there the price of gas, and he'll say, well, here it is today. Here it is today. And everybody in here can probably quote, well, gas went up to this, gas went up to that. And so we got a tax on gas in Texas. Ours is relatively low. It's like 20 cents per gallon. But you go to California, and it's really, really high. And so there's a lot of debate about taxes. And so we have to dive into this today, whether we like it or not. And we have to abide by what the Bible says, whether we like it or not. And we have to go with what the Word of God says. Because let me tell you this, no matter how bad we think we've got it, Tiberius, the emperor that they're talking about here, was way worse than anything we could ever have in this country. When you read Paul's writings in Romans, Titus, when you read Peter's writings in 1 Peter about submission to the government, they had an emperor by the name of Nero who was a homicidal, homosexual maniac. And yeah, a psychopath. And he was 14 years old when he was crowned emperor. And he committed suicide at the age of 30. This dude had some problems. But he was the emperor over the kingdom that Paul wrote the book of Romans, one of the most deep theological books we have in the Bible. He was the emperor when Peter penned to the diaspora of the Jews. And so when we think we got it tough, guys, we ain't seen nothing. Okay, so we're going to look at this today, and I want you to just put your political views to the side for a minute. And let's just focus on the Word of God. And so if you're able, let's stand. Mark chapter 13, or chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. Jesus has just told them that He is the chief cornerstone. And He gave them that parable about the vine dressers. So they sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch Him in His words. When they had come, they said to Him, "Teacher, we know that You are true and You care about no one." We'll talk about that. "For You do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But He, knowing their hypocrisy, this is good, said to them, "Why do you test Me? Bring Me a denarius that I may see it." So they brought it. And He said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to Him, "Caesar's." Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." And they marveled at Him. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your profound wisdom, that Your wisdom is not like ours, that Your wisdom is supreme. Lord, today, I pray that our hearts are convicted. I pray that if there's ones out there that are on the fringe of rebellion, Lord, that You bring their walk closer to You. Lord, I pray today for our country. I pray for our politicians, our president, our vice president. Lord, what a testimony it would be, Lord, if it be Your will that their souls be saved and they call upon You for salvation. Lord, I pray, Lord, for our people in this country. Lord, for the ones that have been called to You, ones that have been called out, the ecclesia, the church. Lord, I pray that we, in these dark times, will be the light that shines for You. Lord, that will be the salt that flavors this earth. Lord, I pray we don't get wrapped up into the minutiae of politics and of the right wing and the left wing, but Lord, may we always be centered on You and what Your Word stands for. Lord, be with us today as we go through these verses. Lord, may our minds be enlightened. Lord, may our hearts be open to receive Your Word. And Lord, we pray that Your Holy Spirit work in us. For we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus tells this parable of the vine dressers, and He's got two groups coming after Him. He's got the religious group, and He's got the political group. He's got the Pharisees, a religious Jewish sect that follows the Levitical law to a T. As a matter of fact, they don't only follow the Levitical law to a T, they've added so many rules to it that it's nearly impossible to even be a Pharisee. So they want to try to team up with an arch enemy. An arch enemy called the Herodians. The Herodians were a political group that supported King Herod and his dynasty. And everything that King Herod did in the dynasty of the Herodians, they would support that because they believed that there needed to be rules and there needed to be justice under the kingdom of Judah, of Israel. Now I want you to think about this for a second. You can almost look at our country and see these same groups rearing their ugly heads. It amazed me that we had more people chasing after Donald Trump than chasing after Jesus. It amazes me that we have more people stand up and get vocal about politics than they do about the Word of God. It amazes me in our country where you have these religious groups and these political groups that are enemies when it comes to the state versus church that are now trying to mesh together. For example, our current president calls himself a practicing Catholic. Well, we know in the Baptist church that he's not saved by Christ. He thinks that he's saved by works. And so when he goes out here and says these things, he promotes a false ideology, and that ideology is contradictory to what you and I stand for today. And so when he says things to us over the TV, a man that we should be able to trust, I turn the other channel. Because there's no trust. And so when we look at this today, we see this mixing of religion and political groups that have come together, and there has been so many fights on so many issues over and over again, and now the biggest issue is the Second Amendment, and that is gun control. And it is going to be a battle that we're going to keep on fighting and we're going to keep on seeing. There's going to be battles that rear its ugly heads. I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution of the United States. But before I believe in the Constitution of the United States, I believe in the Word of God. And in this Constitution of the United States, as a constitutionalist, I had a hard time with this. Now let me clarify this before we dive into this. There's a lot of people that don't like the current political situation, so they have flags made, they have t-shirts made, they have slogans, and y'all know the slogans that I'm talking about. And one of the slogans that was at a race car rally, one of these slogans has been so popular, and shirts have been made, and hats have been made. So my last job at Quitman ISD, my first period was all the troubled kids. And I love those kids. They were funny. They were a lot of fun. But they would come to me and the first thing they'd want to do was hack the Quitman ISD website. Well, we're not going to do that today, guys. But one of the kids come in there and he's got one of those political slogan t-shirts on. And the principal comes in and just gets all over him. And I understand it's against the rules. Go in there and you change that shirt. Okay, let's go in there and change it. He's griping, complaining. Let's just do what the principal says. But then my next period, an LGBTQ T, whatever they are, comes in and has a pride sweater that's every color in the world with the emblem for LGBT, and not one thing is said about that. Now, as a constitutionalist, I have a problem with that. I have a big time problem with that. But let me say this, Christian. We should not look like a race car walking around the public streets with political ideology across our chest. Does that make sense? We should not be the yard that people drive by and see flags flying high with political ideology screaming from the top of our lungs. It would be great if people drove by our yards and saw a We Love New Hope Baptist Church sign in their yard. It would be great if they drove by our yards and saw Jesus 2024 in our yards. I want you to think about that. We get into the situation today where you have a religious group and a political group, and they have formed together to do what? To come after Jesus. You're going to see a Greek word in verse 13 that's only used here in the New Testament. It's the word catch. The Greek word means trap. It means trap like a wild animal. That's how they thought about Jesus. They thought Jesus was like a wild animal. That he was a ravenous wolf that had come into the midst to tear people apart, and they said, we're going to catch him in his words. And when we catch him in his words, then the people will turn on him. Well, let's look at what happened. Verse 14, many scholars say that this is Tuesday before Jesus went to the cross. Verse 14, when they had come, they said to him, Teacher, first time they come together, the Herodians and the And the Pharisees, what do? They flatter him. They use flattering words. You guys that have been with me on Sunday nights in Proverbs, we know that Solomon said a thing or two about flattery. He says, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one." Now let's stop right there. Care about no one in the Greek is not so much, we know that Jesus cares. As a matter of fact, Peter, his staunch disciple, says, "Cast all your cares upon Jesus." Why? Because Jesus cares for you. We know He cares. What the Pharisees and Herodians are saying there is that Jesus did not look on man's stature of money, man's stature of prominence, man's stature of rank. You know how we are sometimes? Golly, Randy, when I worked for Berkshire's, they'd get on the loudspeaker and say, "Mark Berkshire's in Lindale. Trent Berkshire's in Lindale. Everybody get ready." And boy, everybody go crazy in Berkshire's, just cleaning it to a T, getting it ready. Frank knows this. And everybody'd be on their toes when Mr. Berkshire's come in. Boy, we'd be ready to salute, right? There's a lot of people that when people with rank come around, we change our demeanor, we change who we are, we change everything about us. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was the same to everybody. And this is pretty unique in this. They said, "You care about no one." It simply meant, Jesus used an old Hebrew expression where they got from 1 Samuel 16:7, that the Lord does not look on the appearance of a man, the Lord looks on the heart. And that's who Jesus is. Folks, you can all get dressed up this morning and you can look great as you always do, but can I tell you, Jesus knows your heart. "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but you teach the way of God in truth." This was unique about Jesus, is that He didn't care about people's feelings when it came to the truth. He preached the will of God. We need preachers today that will preach the truth of the Word of God. We don't need it sugar-coated. We don't need lights and dry ice and fancy strobes and all those types of things. We need people that will dive into the Word of God and preach the Word of God for the truth that it says here. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said this to pastors. I hope y'all are not doing this to me. "It is best not to know, nor wish to know, what is being said about you, either by friends or foes. Those who praise us are probably as much as mistaken as those who abuse us." And how true that may be. When we think about this today, we think about this flattery that they gave to Jesus as they're luring Him in. And they ask Him this question: "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Caesar, you history buffs know Julius Caesar. You know the lineage that comes down, we get to Tiberius. Tiberius was an emperor that was, a lot of historians say that he was a confliction of personality. We know that Tiberius was one that put down mass chaos. We know that Tiberius put down revolts. We know that he did not stand for any type of treason that came up into his kingdom. And this Tiberius would be who the taxes would go to at this time. Tiberius Caesar. So when we look at this, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Taxes, that word is an old Latin word. It actually means census. And this is what they would have to pay. They'd have to pay a poll tax. And let me break down the tax system for you just real quick of what they would have to pay. That poll tax, if you were a 12-year-old man all the way up to 65, you had to pay one denarius a year. That was one day's worth of wages you'd pay per year. If you were a woman 14 to 65, you had to pay the same thing. But you say, well, that's not too bad, Michael. Well, let me tell you about the other taxes they had to pay. They had to pay an income tax. And that was 1% of a man's income went along with this one denarius to be able to be paid to Caesar. Not only did they have to pay an income tax, they had to pay a ground tax. That was like an agricultural tax. For example, you had to pay 10% for all your grain that you raised. And then you had to pay a percent of 20% of all the fruit you raised or all the wine that you produced. So you can see that the Jewish people are being taxed beyond burdened. Okay? So when you see these taxes coming down from the Roman government, the Roman Empire on the Jewish people, these taxes are burdensome. Now let's think about us today. This nation has changed dramatically. After the 1920s, look at what we've become. You know, if we was preaching right here today in 1865 when this church was founded, right after the Civil War, do you know every one of us in here today, we'd be farmers? Okay? There's probably not maybe one or two of you in here today that truly are farmers, that raise cattle, that raise your own gardens, that do what you do to get your own produce and your own meat into your freezer. I want you to think about that today. Back then, everybody worked off the land. Man, I don't know if I could make it back then. Can I get a witness? So these taxes of 10% of your grain, 20% of your wine or your fruit, then you had your income tax, then you had your denarius, the year tax. Can you imagine the tax that was upon these people? I'm sure they were ready to rebel. That's why they were looking for the Messiah. Now let's look at verse 15. They continue on asking this question. Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, you know, 1 John 3:20, Jesus knows all things. He, knowing their hypocrisy. You know, hypocrisy is a Greek word. It means two-faced. Back in the theater of the ancient Greeks, they would wear a mask. One would be a comedy mask that would have a smile. The other one would have a frown that would be for tragedy. And when you took the mask off, you were a person. When you put the mask on, you were an actor. Jesus knew their hypocrisy. He knew they're two-faced. Okay? Because he knows all things. It says here, why do you test me? Why do you try me? Why do you put me on trial? They don't even know who he is. That he's God in the flesh. Here's what he says to do. He gives an object lesson. The object lesson is this. He says, bring me a denarius that I may see it. The denarius was a silver coin. A silver coin that was basically for the day's wages. Let's look at verse 16 and see what happens here. They brought it, the denarius, and he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? And they said to him, Caesar's. Now this is where it gets interesting. The image, the front was Tiberius. It was his head. It was the picture of the emperor on the coin, much like our penny has Abraham Lincoln. Much like our nickel has Thomas Jefferson. Much like our dime, Franklin Roosevelt. Much like our quarter has George Washington. We know who's on our coinage of what we have here in the United States. Many of you may not know the coins, but you sure know those dollar bills. Okay? Those kids at school, they'll talk about the Benjamins. I'll say, what do you mean, Benjamin? They'll say, you know that guy on the $100 bill. I said, what's his last name? I don't know. It's the Benjamins. Okay. All right. Whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because on the front is the head of Caesar, but on the back is an inscription that says, High Priest. Now we've got a problem. Now we've got a big problem. High priest. This is why the Pharisees asked Jesus this question. Because if he says pay to Caesar, then you have completely denied the sovereignty of God. But the Herodians are saying, if he says don't pay your taxes, then he's a rebel. We can arrest him and we can try him for treason. So we got a problem. Can I tell you something today, church? All of us in here have problems. I learned as a little old third grader here at New Hope Baptist Church in Vacation Bible School, we used to sing a little old Bible school song up here around the piano, and it said this, Jesus is the answer. When you have problems, can I tell you today that Jesus is the answer? Here's the answer that he gave. He answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. Wow. Jesus is saying here, you use this money to buy. We use money to buy things, don't we? We use our credit card, we use our check card, we write checks, we get dollar bills, we get coins, we use the money. So we do it for our enjoyment. We do it to pay bills, we do it to stay afloat. So if the government that has been installed says that you must pay taxes, then Jesus says, render, that means pay back to Caesar what Caesar has asked. So church, I hate to burst our bubble this morning, but we got to pay taxes. And you and me may not like what our tax money goes to, but we are called by God to pay taxes through His Word, through the Word Jesus Christ gives here today. You may say, Michael, I need more than that. Let me give you more than that. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let me just read this to you real quick. Paul writes, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority, listen to this, except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Remember who he's talking about during this time period? Nero. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes. Second place in the Bible. Pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You can go to the book of Titus, you can go to the book of 1 Peter, you can see all throughout the Word of God that we are to pay taxes and we are to be subject to governing authorities. Why? Because they've been placed here by God. Okay? So if we're going to get the money, we got to pay taxes. And so it's very spelled out, very clear here from the Word of God. There's a theologian by the last name of Clark that I wrote this and I thought it was pretty good. Jesus' answer is full of consummate wisdom. It establishes the limits, regulates the rights, and distinguishes the jurisdiction of two empires, and that being heaven and earth. So we've told what we need to do here on earth. What about heaven? Look at Jesus' last statement to the answer. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Wow. What are we to give God? We're to give God everything. Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed His blood to purchase your soul. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about when you think about to give to God the things that are God's. Genesis 1:26 says this, that we are made in the likeness and the image of God. That's our inscription. Is that when we look out among you people, we see the image of God. That we don't worship a coin. We don't worship a dollar bill. We don't worship an emperor. We don't worship a king. We don't worship a president. We don't worship political parties. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. To God, the things that are God's. So let's talk about this for just a second. God is telling us to give Him His all. That today you're doing that. You're not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, but you're coming together into His house because you know that the Lord is coming again, and you come together in His house to do what? To stir up in each other good works and to love one another. That's what Hebrews 10:25 says. You tithe to the Lord. That there's a lot of people that practice this. Before paying bills, before doing anything, they write their check to the Lord. Wow. That's a mind-changing value system there. And I have had numerous testimonies of people in this church who said, listen, when we get our check, the first thing we do is write the tithe. And when we give that, you don't know how much God blesses us by doing that for the rest of the month or the rest of the year, whatever it may be, by tithing to the Lord. Wow. Incredible. What else? The Lord says for us to give Him His all of our service, all of our everything that we are, we're to give to Him. That's what we're to render to God. Now, can I ask you a question? How many of us are really wrapped up on the political side and not wrapped up into the Lord's side? Maybe that stings some this morning. So what happens when the two conflict each other? Because that's a question we get quite often. Well, here's what happens. When the two conflict each other, Dr. John MacArthur and Ken Ham had the Truth Conference, Truth Matters Conference up in Kentucky where the Ark is. And they had a Q&A. I encourage you to go back and watch this on YouTube. It's incredible. They had a Q&A. Let's talk about states' rights, Amendment 10, real quick. Texas allows us to meet together, and Texas allows us to meet together vaccinated or unvaccinated. We don't have to have a COVID pass to go to church. I don't have to show you a COVID pass. I don't have to have a COVID pass to go watch the Dallas Mavericks. I don't have to have a COVID pass to go to the Rangers game. In California, it's a totally different ball game. Second thing, gun rights. In Texas, we got open carry. Constitutional carry. It was passed last September. California, you can't even hardly buy a gun out there. Abortion. Listen, regardless of what you think about Governor Abbott, Governor Abbott's done some great things for the state of Texas. And one of those things he stood up for is he stood up for the unborn's rights. We need more politicians that stand up for the unborn's rights. California, totally opposite than what we are. That's why people from California are racing to get to Texas as fast as they can. Because of states' rights. So what happens when these two things collide? God's standard versus what the government tells you to do. Well, aren't you thankful that the Bible gives us the answers? Daniel, you can go all throughout the Word of God and you can see the answers. So, what about us? Is there a day coming New Hope Baptist Church is going to be persecuted? We already are in some forms and fashion. I told the Bible study here on Wednesday night, we've had couples leave the church on our stance on LGBT. And I've had people in this church say, why don't you go out to their house and talk to them and try to get them to come back to church? Nah, not doing that. Maybe that's another pastor's job, not mine. Here's why. The church is the sheep called by God, not the goats worshiping Satan. And since the church is to be holy, we are not to bring our standard down to the world. We are to lift our standard to God's holy sovereignty. We got a problem here, guys, because the church has become so watered down. Let everybody in. Let everybody do what they want to do. That's not what the church is called to be. Ecclesia in the Greek means the called out. The ones that are called out. Called out by whom? Called out by God. So if we are going to give God what is God's, then this is what we're going to do. We're going to hold to His holy standard. The holy standard is coming to a pinnacle where we're about to be challenged. You mean to tell me y'all won't allow LGBT weddings here at your church? Absolutely not. You mean to tell me that you won't allow this song by Snoop Dogg to be played at my grandfather's funeral? Absolutely not. You mean to tell me that you won't allow this type of attitude and this type of conduct to be allowed here at this church? Absolutely not. So are we going to get challenged? Yeah, it's coming. Get ready. John told the youth Wednesday night, it's probably going to come in their lifetime. It's probably going to come in our lifetime. You just wait. In the next couple of years, and here's another thing. Everybody gets so wrapped up about President Biden being in office. I was mad too. But can I say this through prayer? America is nowhere mentioned in Scripture when it comes to prophecy. We will not exist in the end times. And folks, I'm here to tell you today, we're in the end times. And as we're in the end times, may we look at this and see this. What happens when the government says, shut down the church? What happens when the government says, if you're going to preach from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that's going to be hate speech, and pastor, you're going to jail. I hope I'd have some friends that would come bail me out. Listen to this, guys. It already happened in the Word of God, and I just want to share this with you as we close. When the state tells you, you can't preach Christ. When the state tells you that you can't stand for the B-I-B-L-E, church, we're to keep standing. Acts chapter 4, and we'll close. Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John, and we know that Peter and John were arrested. And as they were arrested for the name of Jesus Christ, it was forbidden among the Sanhedrin. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and that we have heard. And what were those things that they had seen and that they had heard? They had seen as an eyewitness Jesus Christ on the cross pay the penalty for the sins of you and me. To be buried in a borrowed tomb and to rise again. And to walk on earth another 40 days before they seen Him with their own eyes caught up to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the angel told him, just as He goes up, likewise He will be coming back again. Folks, how in the world can you not speak the things of Jesus Christ? You and I as believers, I want to encourage you during these tough times. I want to encourage you when it seems like that they're trying to legislate everything when it comes to the Word of God and to the church. I want to encourage you to stand firm, establish your hearts, because the Lord's coming is at hand. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for our church. Lord, thank You for her desire to worship You and You alone. For her desire to stand for truth. When it comes to truth of the Word of God, when it comes to truth of Your doctrines, Lord, when it comes to truth of where we stand on political issues, when it seems like everybody else in the world is bending and it seems like everybody else in the world is going one way, Lord, we know that that way is broad and we know that that way is of destruction. Lord, please keep New Hope Baptist Church on the narrow way. Lord, thank You that You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. No one comes to the Father except through You. And Lord, we thank You for salvation here today. Lord, give us boldness. Give us courage as we go out into the systems of the world. The ones of us that work still. And we go into an ungodly system each and every day created by man. Lord, I pray that You'll let our light shine. And Lord, You'll let our salt be flavorful. We'll be kind and we'll be impassioned for You. Lord, for the ones that may be retired, Lord, I pray that in everything that they do, everywhere that they go, Lord, that they will be that light that shines for You. Lord, continue to put Your hedge of protection around this church. Lord, I ask You to continue to bless this church. You have done so abundantly, and we praise You for that. Today, Lord, thank You for Your Scripture. And Lord, may it have been convicted our hearts. May it have enlightened our hearts. And Lord, the Holy Spirit will prompt us on what to do. We love You and we praise You. Pray for our Sunday school teachers, the upcoming second service tonight for Brother John. Lord, we just praise You for how good You are and that we can come together to worship You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Yeah. Brother John.
Just want to let you know, tonight we're going to be covering Joshua's crossing of the Jordan into Jericho. And how does that apply to what New Hope Baptist Church is going through right now?
Come back at 6 o'clock. We got Sunday school starting right now. Hope you'll stay for it. If you have any questions, concerns, gripes, complaints, you can come see me right now. Love you. Hope you have a great day. God bless you.